Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey everybody, welcome to More Than That. This is a podcast where we take the preacher or the speaker, whoever is doing the main thing on Sunday morning, and we pull them aside and just say, hey, what would you speak on, or what would you dive into a little bit further if you had 10 extra minutes or something like that? And so I am sitting here with
Larry Stout.
And my name is Tyler Henry. So Larry, if you had 10 extra minutes or 15, however long, what would you have taken us a little bit further into or in a different direction?
Well, thank you, Tyler. You know, it turned out that as I was going through the message, I realized, you know, this really would be good for this, extra part, because I had a part where I wanted to put in some psychology into the talk that I was giving. It was as I was going through scripture, and I thought, you know, it's a bit of a diversion. It's a good diversion. It's important, but I thought this could be something that I just put on a to do later. So this is really what I wanted to talk about. The fact that we are creatures of habit by nature. Mm-hmm. We like consistency. It's a part of, I often would say, you probably didn't go to work or go to church and say, gee, I think I'm going to take a new route today. You just get in your car and you go the same way.
Yeah.
Let's suppose, road's closed or something. Now you've got to go a different way. You have been inconvenienced, but you have to change. And so the whole point of my message was that God is changing us. This is when we are sinners and we are being conformed to the image of Christ, which by definition means we are going to be changed. Mm-hmm. But so what happens now is we are resistant to change by nature. So why do we change? In general, in all of life, why do we change? It turns out for only two reasons, and it goes way back to Aristotle. We change to avoid pain or to achieve gain. Mm-hmm. So it works really nice in English, doesn't work in other language, but we change for pain or gain.
Yeah.
So here's how it would work. Here I am, and I like to use the example of salt. I love salt. I grab the salt shaker before I even taste the food because I just like salty food. Now, I happen to be married to a nurse who constantly informs me of the dangers of excessive sodium, et cetera, et cetera. And I hear her. I understand it. I could even give lectures on this subject. I've heard so much. But you know what? The moment her back is turned, out comes the salt shaker. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I don't see any need to change. I don't have any. I'm the same way I am. Now, let's imagine I go to the doctor, a routine checkup, and the doctor says, ooh, Larry, you got a problem. You have to reduce your sodium intake, or you're going to face a very serious, possibly life-threatening, something, blockages or something in your heart or whatever in the next year or two. Well, guess what? I still like salt. That doesn't change, but now, because of this perceived threat to avoid pain, I'm now, throwing a salt shaker away. You know, okay, I just got to do that. Now, it's painful, but I'm going to change. But what I would probably do, now this is, again, when the negative part, I might say to the doc, could I use salt on Saturday or something? I mean, how much do I actually have to give up? I want some wiggle room here. So I'm going to change for as little as I have to avoid the pain. Now, opposite, I go to the doctor. And the doctor said, yeah, Larry, you're in pretty good shape. But, you know, if you'd reduce your sodium intake, you'd probably lose some weight. You'd feel a little bit healthier. You'd be a little snappier. You'd probably even maybe be a little more frisky with your wife. And I'm thinking, ooh, hey, now I like this. So
some
now suddenly, not only am I throwing away the salt shaker, I'm now looking at the sodium content on the packages, because obviously the more I change, the more I'm going to gain.
Mm-hmm.
So theoretically, positive change is always better than negative. If I'm told, if you guys don't get your job, if you work better, you're going to get fired. That's negative, so I'm only going to work just hard enough to not get fired.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's some incentives that through, you know, as we do better, you guys are going to get, you know, profit sharing, whatever. Ooh, you know, then I work harder. Now, let's apply that to our spiritual life. Here we are. We're suffering. We don't want to suffer. We ask the Lord, please reduce my suffering. And so our focus is on avoiding the pain of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody likes it. Let's be honest. Suffering in whatever dimension you want to call it, physical, mental, whatever, it's just, it's painful. I mean, it's what it is. But, if I believe what God's word has said, if I am able to embrace the concept of what his word declares, that ultimately all things work together for good, that God is actually doing these things for my benefit, even though I don't see it, now I take it in a whole different way where I'm going to embrace the fact that, Lord, I know this light momentary affliction produces for me an eternal weight of glory. I suddenly see it in a whole different perspective.
Yeah.
So it's going to be the way I look at it that's going to change my response and whether I'm going to ultimately develop in a positive way. So that whole thing, to me, fits into the message I was giving, but there's actually a psychology behind it to make this happen. So that was the main thing that I wanted to get across.
Yeah, and that whole, like, changing for pain or gain reminded me of Luke 16. The first part with the unrighteous steward or that's just the the heading that my Bible has. But yeah, the unrighteous steward, where he is fixing the books.
Right.
But it's for his own personal gain.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, oh crap, I just got fired. Mm-hmm. Now I have a fear of change.
Mm-hmm.
It's negatively affecting me now. So now I got to positively affect me so that these guys are indebted to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the story just kind of keeps going. But that it just reminded me of that and how Jesus is able to use that for the gospel and say, look, it's okay to be focused on this heavenly reward.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, it's okay to be a little selfish in that. It's not a bad thing.
Because it moves us in the right direction.
Yeah,
right,
yeah. Right. As long as there's that positive movement towards Christ, there's really nothing wrong with that. To bring a little bit of that Greek thought into it with positive movement towards something.
And I have a personal story that relates to this also that I've told. I know a number of city church people have heard it, but it had to do with I was in my early 30s, and this is in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a wife, three kids, normal. I just got out of the Air Force. I'm working a private job now. And all of a sudden, my right knee started to hurt. And I'm a young guy, you know, just shake it off. Don't worry about it. And I'm starting to, you know, really walk with a bit of a limp. My wife says, what is wrong with you? And I say, just something wrong. It hurts a little bit. She says, well, you need to go to a doctor. Check it out. No, I'm not going to go to a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it kept getting worse and worse. And my wife kept saying, Larry, I'm going to make an appointment for you. I said, well, making it for like 2 weeks out. You know, by the time I come, I'll be able to cancel it and I won't have to go. Well, I am not joking. By the time that appointment came, I was almost on my hands and knees getting into the doctor's office. They instantly put me into the hospital.
Oh, wow.
I was there, and then suddenly it just went even worse. It had been getting bad and bad, but suddenly my knee just swelled up. It was like a bowling ball.
Mm-hmm.
Just my right knee. They did every test unknown to man. They could not find what was wrong. Everything's coming back negative. And literally after 5 days of this, the only way I can describe now the pain in my leg, because it thing kept getting worse and worse. It was like my leg was on fire, and some kind of demons were hitting it with pitchforks, because it was just excruciating. It's the only time in my life I've ever wanted to die, because I thought, I don't know how long I can stand this. This is just awful.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, being a resourceful person that she is, being a nurse, knew of literally a world-renowned rheumatologist that was in Philadelphia, but we were living in Norristown, a suburb of Philly, mm-hmm. and he would visit there once a week. He had a little small, not small, but I mean, he had an office that he would come to on mm-hmm. Friday afternoons.
Yeah.
That was when so she was able to get a hold of him and said, hey, you know, my husband, this problem, blah, blah, blah. So he's 5 o'clock. This guy, out of curiosity, he thinks, oh, I'll go check him out. Because mm-hmm. it wasn't that far where he was. He comes, yeah. he walks in. You never see a doctor after noon. I mean, after 12 o'clock. They're out on the golf course. So yeah. the guy at 5 o'clock, yeah. who is this guy?
Especially somebody of that stature, yeah.
And I was so surprised, because the first thing he does is he picks up my hands and he starts feeling my knuckles. I said, Doc, the pain's in my leg. He says, I know. I thought, huh, well, this guy's a bit different. He looks at me, and I ended up knowing this guy for many years, but the only time I ever saw him angry was the very first time I met him, because he saw my leg and he was upset that they didn't know what they were doing.
Oh, wow.
He yells out in the hallway to the nurse, nurse! She comes, he said, I want this, this, and this. Go, get it. So he looks at me, he said, Larry, you're going to start feeling better very soon. I said, Doc, don't joke with me. I said, I've been laying here for 5 days. I am ready to die. And he said, no, it's going to be okay. Shoots me up, aspirates my leg, puts in some, I guess, some cortisone or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, and suddenly, and then he says goodbye. Within 20 minutes, I'm starting to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, who was that masked man? You know, what's going on?
Yeah.
Now, it turned out I had a disease that less than 100 people in the world have. It was extremely rare, extremely.
Wow.
There's no name for it. That's how rare it is.
Wow.
But every 28 days for the next 7 years, my leg would swell up like a bowling ball.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to go to him and have that same procedure done. And now I'd be good for 28 days. Why 28 days? Why? Who knows?
Yeah.
4 weeks exactly. Boom, 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 boom. It mm-hmm. just happens, right? And, you know, you get close to a guy that you're seeing that much on a routine basis.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
most of the people he sees are old people. So here's a guy in his 30s, closer in age to him.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up knowing everything about each other. I mean, mm-hmm. even books we read and, you know, everything, mm-hmm. movies we've seen. And, of course, I'm sharing my faith with him. And he thinks, you know, oh, yeah, this is cute, that this guy, you know, he's mm-hmm. into Jesus, that's fine. Well, then I start getting interested toward the end of the 80s. I'm starting to get interested in Soviet missions. By the way, any trips I take have to be calculated in between these 28 days.
Oh, yeah.
Because you had to be back yeah. in Norristown by that 28th day. So it really controlled our lives.
Yeah.
So I actually make a 3-week trip mm-hmm. to the Soviet Union. First trip, it was just amazing, and then made two more. And on that third trip, now in September of 90, I knew God was calling us to be there. I came back on my 28th day, saw the doc, big leg. I said, Dr. Hutzinger, I'm going to be going to the Soviet Union with my family in January. He said, Larry, this is a very bad idea. In fact, you know, in the history of bad ideas, this is like, you know, he said, nobody in the Soviet Union can treat, he said, hardly anybody in America can treat you. He said, you don't want to do this. I said, well, you know my faith. I said, I'm going to do this. He says, okay, I'll see you next month. You know, just like, mm-hmm. it's September, I'll see
yeah.
you in October.
Yeah.
Fine. I came back in October, and my knee was not swollen. It was the first time in 7 years that mm-hmm. it was fine. And he looks at it. He said, well, your disease is in remission. I said, do you have an explanation for that? He said, you probably have a better explanation for that. Now, it turned out, and to this day, it has never swollen since then.
Wow. I was going to ask that if it's been
and not a, and I don't even have any pain in it.
Wow.
Now, we're doing our work in 1991. And one of the things that my wife was involved in was establishing a clinic for children with cerebral palsy
mm-hmm.
and, you know, disabled children. Her and a Latvian woman doctor, and they were starting this clinic. And lo and behold, he's now at an international conference in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
Contacts us. Would you mind if I come visit you? Well, yes, of course. Please come. Shows up. So we set up a thing for him to see some children, mm-hmm. just, you know. He was shocked how primitive this was. And he said, you know, if you could get a doctor who could come to CHOP, Children's Hospital of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and get some training and you get to, you know, get some fundraising, get some equipment. He said, you could just change all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So that then became, it turned out that woman doctor went to CHOP it. We were able to get people to fund it and mm-hmm. make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Started a children's rehabilitation center for children with cerebral palsy called Mesis and Lysis, which translates into "We are beside you," which if you translate that into Greek, it would be Paraclete.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was all by accident. We just picked a name and didn't realize it had so much implication.
Yeah.
But they just celebrated a year ago the 25th anniversary of that clinic, which has become literally so. It has totally transformed the country. Even the medical academy sends their students there mm-hmm. to learn how to do this kind of therapy. We have people from Russia. They've come as far as Israel to see what's happened. Thousands of children have been impacted, which would not have happened had Larry not established a relationship with a doctor, a world-renowned doctor,
mm-hmm.
for 7 years to get to the point where we were on a first name basis
mm-hmm.
and suddenly a miracle happens in my life that cultivates into this man who's not a Christian
mm-hmm.
thinks I want to follow up on this.
Yeah.
And now his response results. So Larry's suffering was for good.
Mm-hmm.
Now it wasn't good for me for 7 years. I didn't like that.
Yeah.
I prayed. I had enough oil dumped on me and fill a bathtub. You know, I mean, I just wanted out of this.
Yeah.
But it was all for good. Now, very, very, very rarely do we ever get to see what's behind the scenes of what God is doing.
Mm-hmm.
God just blessed me amazingly with that little experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe, truly believe, that all these things that we suffer through that to us make mm-hmm. no sense at all do make sense in a picture that we don't see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what gives me encouragement to say, again, all things do work together for good. It's not a cliche.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's promise.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm right there with you in that belief. Like it's one of those things like, you know, with my education and being so steeped in early childhood and stuff like that mm-hmm. for the first mm-hmm. 3 to 4 years of my college, I got to know the psychology mm-hmm. and how, like, mm-hmm. child development
yep.
and
Piaget,
not Pavlov. He's got the dog. But yeah, with Piaget and his, like, development,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's almost as if we are infants
mm-hmm.
in the grand scheme of things where we can't see beyond
mm-hmm.
our own circumstances. But once we progress and we get even further along in, let's say, in our faith, mm-hmm. then it's like, oh, you're right. starting to
see
all these different
together,
connections.
Yeah.
And as we develop, then...
Because all truth is God's truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
yeah.
all of it, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, it's kind of cool, like, to think he was onto something mm-hmm. bigger than what he was even...
exactly. Right.
What he was even able
to... Well,
actually,
Piaget got it from watching his three kids.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just indigenous.
Yeah.
I mean, he came up with his theories, mm-hmm. yeah.
But yeah, it's cool to see, like, he was onto something that didn't just apply to his kids.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
applies
yes,
to
exactly.
our us as adults and how we progress in our faith as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
Just since you went on the whole psychology route, I was like, yeah, let's bring in Piaget, why not? But yeah, like, that's that story, I was getting goosebumps.
Aww.
I could feel the... Feel them starting to come, but yeah. So, like, how did that kind of influence your faith after that? After seeing what did you say the doctor's name was?
Utzinger. Peter Utzinger.
How did it? What went on with Utzinger affect your faith for the better, even though that wasn't necessarily the goal, but it was to help the kids. But
mm-hmm.
how did that affect you, and how even further you were able to impact the kids and have that cycle keep going?
Well, that really, that was Debbie's realm. You know,
okay.
she's the one
mm-hmm.
that did 99.9% of that. Mine was actually in more in a on the business side of things and education
mm-hmm.
side. We helped do enormous amount of work in that area. But I think for myself personally, though, a lot of hardships, a lot of, I mean, if you're in ministry, you're going to have, you know, just some unbelievable bumps in the road, for lack of a better way to put it, but more like holes of great caverns. But but it reminded me that this is my Father's world, you know, that that I am trusting God, that even though in my mind's eye it seems like this is not going to work out, or this is here's another example on my side on education. Ended up talking to one of the, they call it minister, we would call it secretary, but the top guy in the education department. He was so, they wanted to get rid of the Soviet system, but they didn't know what to change it to. And, you know, I said, well, you know, there is a whole nother way of looking at education from a Christian perspective. And he said, that sounds interesting. And so he organized a conference where literally people were coming from all over the country to come to the University of Latvia, which is a major place. Actually was going to have a, we were going to be in the same hall that the Pope, when he came to Latvia, would speak from. So this is a high profile thing. I lined up four people from America that were going to come and speak to this. And I thought, boy, I'm just going to bask in the the glory of how wonderful this is going to be. Well, guess what? All four opted out.
Oh, jeez.
At the last minute, practically.
Oh, I mean, that's
very
cool.
late.
That's even
very
worse,
late
yeah.
in the game.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. What, I mean, I, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
And I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, this is a disaster. I might as well pack up now and go back to America, because I'm going to be shamed forever. And I did. I just cried out to the Lord. And then I just thought to myself, okay, Larry, what do you got? Let's do inventory. You got you. Okay. So there's one of me. Now, if I have to do this alone, what would you do if all you have is you? Well, I can't do the one size fits all. What would make more sense is to go out to the highways and byways, meet them in their various areas. So I went back to the boss, back to the guy. I said, you know, we were thinking about it. It just seems like just a big, big rally. Everybody does that. Wouldn't it make more sense if we just kind of went to the local communities, go to each, they call them rayons, we call counties.
Yeah.
Go to each of the close to 30 counties. And do something special. That's a great idea, Larry. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That would work much better.
Mm-hmm.
For the next two and a half years, I literally went, and we counted probably were able to present every one and every three teachers in the country a Christian model of education, where every child would reach their fullest potential, be able to think and perceive truth, and be motivated to live in a morally and socially responsible way. That was our, which, by the way, doesn't mention Bible or Jesus or God, but gives you this overall thing. But now how to do that? And then I'd say, you know, through humanistic methodologies, does it work? No, no, no. Well, actually, here's where if you plug in the Christian philosophy to methodology into that, and that was my, it was actually like a, I think a three-day seminar that we used to do with, and they closed down the schools for this. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. And out of that came whole departments in the pedagogical schools where they would follow it. So to this day, out of, what, 25 countries in the European Union, Latvia is the only one that uses the Bible from K to 12 in every course. So it's...
That's...
But all because of these four people wimped out
and
had to change something that I thought was a disaster, and God used it for good. I think it was just through instances like that. Even when sometimes when things just really did bust, we were given, literally given, land to build a kind of a building that right downtown. I mean, this would have been, And as I'm trying to get some, and I had a baseball player in America who committed, Christian baseball player, committed to building it. So again, everything is just going great. And then again, at the last minute, apparently he was investing in some kind of Chinese bitcoins or who knows what. I don't know. But anyway, he went bankrupt.
Oh,
Uh-huh. I mean, literally lost everything. So that killed our project. Yeah. And I'm thinking, God, I mean, this is so perfect. This would be so good. Mm-hmm. I still don't know why that happened. I don't know. I don't see any result from that. That was a great opportunity that went bust. And I don't know. I don't see anything good coming out of that. But see, mm-hmm. I don't have to. Some things God has blessed me to be able to see the good. Other things, they went down, mm-hmm. and I don't know why they went down. Yeah. But again, all things work together for good. So God's mm-hmm. good is somehow coming out of it. We live in a time period that we're not going to see everything.
Mm-hmm.
But someday we're going to see, you know, not through a glass darkly.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be different.
Yeah. I'm just going to leave that there.
Okay.
Because that just sums everything up like super well, even though we brought it full circle. Sometimes that's the best way to do it. But yeah, thank you, Larry, for everything that you do, not just every time that you preach, just everything that mm-hmm. you do for the church and what you've done in Latvia, and mm-hmm. just being not just one of the elders here, but a friend and a mentor. Mm-hmm. I do really look up to you in that aspect.
Thank you, Tyler. I'm not going to be able to get through the door now. You know, my head will be about to turn sideways, but thank you so much.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
So, yeah, for those of you that are listening, we would love to meet you. If you're looking for a church, if you are in the area because of Little League, we'd love to, and you just so happen to find this, we'd love to meet you. Come say hi. Hey, we're here for Little League. Or, you know, if you are listening to this and you are searching for a church home, we'd love to meet you. But we also want to remember that this isn't a replacement for the Sunday sermon, and it's not a replacement for being plugged into a local community, regardless of where you are. So we just want to encourage you, get plugged in and really invest in a community. So just want to say thank you again, Larry, and have a good week, guys. God bless.